Thank you for joining us at Our Savior's Church. If you would like more information on previous messages or sermon series, visit our website at oursaviorschurch.com, or you can call the office at 337-839-8889. Once again, thank you for joining us at Our Savior's Church.
Good morning again, everybody. Did Dr. Darius blow the house up while he was here? Did Pastor Obed bring the heat? Did Pastor Jacob do what only Pastor Jacob can do? Pastor Tim knock it out the park? And did y'all meet J.C. Mejia? Y'all got to meet J.C. And last week was Pastor Gabe. Pastor Gabe was in the house. And so how many know I can't keep up with Dr. D and Pastor Obed and Pastor Jacob? How many of y'all know that? Y'all could encourage me right now. Yeah. Heidi and I had a great, great time. I do want to just, I'm so grateful to those men, and they love you and bragged about you. And several of those men said, what's happening in Opelousas is an anomaly, which is means it's out of the norm, it's out of the ordinary. And usually when something's out of the norm and out of the ordinary, we call that supernatural. It's not natural. It's something out of nature, which is supernatural. And when God can bring people together of different backgrounds, races and creeds and economic, socio, whatever, and bring them all together, and we can lay all that down at the door. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We lay it all down at the door and say we are on equal ground because we're all in need of a Savior, and His name is Jesus. We come here to worship Him, to give Him the glory and the honor. And so I'm so proud of you. So proud of you. I do want to just, I'm so excited in seeing some of the videos and the backpack drive and all that. And we have such an incredible team. We didn't even know that was going on. I'm learning too. We're doing that. That's awesome. And but I do know coming up on Saturday, July the 22nd, we have an opportunity to be a blessing to our community. And we are having a serve day. And it is going to be held at Grolee Elementary. Many of you were part of South Street, renovation of South Street Elementary last year. This year, we're taking on Grolee Elementary. And so we're asking you to be a part of that. What an opportunity for you to be a part of making a difference in our community. It's one thing to preach about it, right? But it's another thing to put some sweat equity into our community, and now you have that opportunity. Here's what we need you to do. If you can be involved in that day on July 22nd, not this coming Saturday, but the following, we do need you to sign up at the O-Town Info, say, I'm in, and we'll get contacted you and let you know what all you need to do from there. So we're real excited about that. And then Heidi and I left 6 weeks ago. We left on a Monday. We drove across the plains of Oklahoma through the Indian country. Across Kansas. I don't know anybody would live in Kansas. I don't know. Have y'all driven across Kansas? And Kansas, thank God for Kansas. Amen? I mean, they provide all the wheat for the bread, but I don't want to live there. And then we drove through the Colorado Rockies, across the Salt Lake Flats in Utah, got to the wine country of Northern California and ended up on the West Coast. The Lost Coast in the north, beautiful, stayed there, stayed in a vineyard, and then we drove all the way back through Navajo Nation. I went and visited my people, which are called by my name. Went through all of that, and we finally landed in Louisiana, and where it was all green again. We saw the green, and I just learned this. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. We ate some great food, but let me just tell you something. You live in South Louisiana, we are spoiled rotten. We got the best food in the entire world. And we could not wait to get back today to preach to you, to talk to you, to be with you. And so thank y'all. Thank you to our staff, Nick Manuel, Donna Tyler Streetback, Kevin Lalonde, Christy, all those, Josh, and I'll miss a bunch of them. But can we just give our staff and Dream Team a big round of applause? Thank you. Thank you. Let's go ahead and jump into the message today in the new series. Normally in the summertime, I like to take a topic or a series and spread it out a little further than normal because it's summer, people are in, people are out, they're traveling, vacations, and I like to use the summer really to kind of focus more in on the believer So if you're a non-believer, or if you're just kicking the tires today, and you're welcome. We love you. You're always welcome here. But I really want to speak to the believer today to help strengthen you as we go on this journey together. And Rod mentioned it in the pregame. You know, we're all on a journey, and we're all at different parts of the journey. We're not all the same age in Christ or the same maturity in Christ. We're all at different stages. You might have walked in today, you don't know Christ. And that's one of the things that we want you to do. We want to help you know Jesus, meet him. He's real. He's alive. He is a real living person that you can meet and interact with. And he wants to see you, save you. And not only that, we want you to take part of the journey to find freedom. How many of you know we've all got some hurts, habits, and hang-ups from our past? Can I get a good amen? Because I'm looking at a motley crew this morning. I know you got some scars. And Jesus didn't just come to save you, to get you into heaven. He came to set you free. That can be just part of a story, part of your story, but it doesn't have to be the last chapter of your life. And then not only to find freedom, but then we want you to help you to discover what you were created for. The book of Psalms tells us in chapter 132 that each of us were put here on purpose, with purpose, and for a purpose. You're here today because that was the design of God, that you would be here. I know your parents told you you were an accident, but I don't believe there's accidental children. There's only accidental parents. Can I get an amen? Yeah, they might have had too much wine that night. I don't know what the deal was. But God knew. He says before the foundations of the world, I knew you. And that he ordained all the days of your life before any of them came to be. That even today you'd be sitting in this very room listening to me. That they've been ordained. So there's a purpose for you. And I don't want you to go through life without figuring out why God created you. And then the fourth thing, we just want to help you discover what that purpose is. And then we want to put you to work so you can make a difference. Because you're never going to really feel fulfilled until you're doing what God created you to do. Amen. Amen. So turn to your neighbor and just say, I think he's talking to you. Just go, no, go ahead and tell him. And then the question would be, who else am I talking to? All right. So I want to start a new series today, and it's called, we're just calling this series Wisdom. Wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. Wisdom. Yeah, everybody needs some wisdom. Wisdom, wise. And I've learned that there are some people that are well, in fact, let me just read this little story to you about wisdom. How many of you know you can go through things in life called experience and get wisdom from some bad experiences in your life? Somebody said experience is the best teacher, but how many of you know experience is not the best teacher? Experience is a brutal teacher. That you have to, you don't have to go through experience to get wisdom. And so, in fact, I'll read this little story for you. It's a funny little story. A widow's husband was about to be buried. Family, relatives, and friends gathered at the funeral home for the wake. And when the pallbearers were carrying the casket out of the funeral parlor, they accidentally bumped against the exit door. And lo and behold, the man came back to life. This is not a real story. It's made up. Some years later, the husband died again. And this time, following the prayers at the mortuary, the widow looked at the pallbearers as they were bringing the casket out. And she said to them, go slow and pay attention. Please make sure you don't hit that door again. How many of you know that was wisdom? I want to talk to you about wisdom. Let's go to the book of 2 Timothy. The Apostle Paul is going to be speaking to his young protege named Timothy, a young man, a young pastor. You've got the Apostle Paul who's going to write 2/3 of the New Testament, and he's going to be encouraging this young man, this young pastor, and he's even going to say things to him like this. He's going to say, hey, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young. But set the example in faith and in speech and in deed. Remember when you were young, you thought you knew everything? And he's telling this, hey, look, people may not want to receive from you because you're younger than they are. And I can remember when I was a young pastor, that was always the challenge. There were older people in our church that had more wisdom than I did. But I received this advice from Paul. If I'm going to gain their trust, it won't be by the words that I say, because they probably have more wisdom than I do. The best thing for me to do would be set a good example to live the life before them, so that would open their hearts to receive. And that's what Paul's telling Timothy. Hey, Timothy, just set a good example. If you'll just be a good example, then older people with more wisdom than you will trust you, and they will want to hear what you have to say. And then he's going to go on and encourage him some more and say, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. But he said, but he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I just want to talk about these three just for a second. And I always think it's interesting that God sometimes does speak in triplets: power, love, sound mind. You might remember that, you know, three is a very significant number in the Bible. There's the Trinity, the three. Y'all know it, right? The Father, the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, you'll see in the Old Testament that they even talked about generations in three. He is the God of, he's the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Old Testament talks about the three-chord strand that's not easily broken. I think it's interesting when Paul tells to Timothy, God's going to give us a spirit, and the spirit actually has three strands to it. One is power, one is love, and one is sound mind. Let's look at love just for a second. I think that's the motivation. When you got born again, if you bowed your knee to Jesus, one of the telltale signs that something supernatural happened to you is that your motivations have changed. Some people will want maybe follow Christ because they look at it as a magic rabbit's foot that would bring them better luck and success. That's not always the case. Can I get an amen from a wise person who's followed Jesus? You don't always get out of jail free card just because you're following Jesus. So it's not a rabbit's foot, but it does change the motivation. We live in a very selfish, selfie generation. Let me send this to the World Wide Web so everybody knows that I'm eating at McDonald's today. Who cares? Are y'all with me? We're selfie, and love changes things. In fact, Jesus would say later in the New Testament, there is a way they're going to know that you belong to me. Do tell. They will see the love you have for one another. If you really want to know if you've really been born again, it will change the very motivation of your heart. It'll no longer be about you, it'll be about God and everybody else. In fact, Jesus said, the two greatest commandments that Jesus gave, hey, love God with all your heart, and the second is like it, that you would love your neighbor as you love yourself. It should change the motivation. And so when we get born again, Jesus comes and does a heart transplant. He's taken out the old dirty heart and putting in a brand new heart that changes our motivation, and we see things totally differently. Can I get an amen? Have you ever experienced that? You go, I got it. Let me give you the second one. But he also says he's going to give us power. Everybody say power. Yeah, what he's talking about, there's a Greek word called dunamis, which is what this word is, means dynamite. I'm going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit. You're going to need some power. There's going to be some things in your life that you can't get through by having great motivation, love, and having sound mind. You're going to need some supernatural help on your side. That the only explanation for that happening is God intervened and showed up on the situation. I'll give you an example. Peter was denying Jesus three times. Several chapters later, the day of Pentecost happens, the Holy Spirit comes upon him, and he's standing up and preaching to the very people that crucified Jesus, and 3,000 people get saved in one day. So he was endued with some power that came from another force. And so Paul's telling Timothy, God's not giving you a spirit of fear. Remember the spirit God's given you. Love, he's changed your motivation. The reason why you're even in this thing. I can remember one time, I just thought of this. Y'all got a second? Yeah. You just got back. Love. I can remember one time in our city, back in the early days when we first started the church, someone in the city that doesn't attend our church said, why are you doing all this? I said, what do you mean? Why am I doing all this? Well, I mean, you know, the church, why are y'all helping whatever we were doing at the time? It was probably like a outreach or Grow Lee or whatever. And somebody said, well, you know, the word around town is, the reason why you're doing this is because one day you want to be the mayor. Can I just go ahead and confess this wicked thought I had when that person said that? Can I confess it? Y'all like it when I confess my sin, right? My first thought was, well, that'd be a step down. That's bad. That's bad. That's bad. That's not good. You shouldn't clap for that because that was not good. That's a bad thought. That was a very prideful thought. But I'm just confessing my sin. So that was my first thought. And then I said, look, I'm not here to be the mayor. I'm here to help the mayor. We're here because our motivation has changed. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with the people that live in our city because we love them. And by the way, how many of you know if we're going to tear down pride, prejudice, and poverty in our community, it's not going to happen with just love and sound mind. We're going to need the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. Can I give you one better? We're seeing it. You get to see it every Sunday. God's doing it. It's not Pastor Yu. It's not you. It's not Dream Team. It's not Seth. It's God. God's doing a work. He's doing a work among us. We're just getting started. And then he comes to this last one, which is where we want to camp in this series. I'm giving you the foundation today. This is where we want to camp. So he's going to give us this three-chord strand, power, dunamis, I'll be with you. I'll endue you with power. Things will happen that you can't do yourself. Only God gets the credit for it. I'm going to help you with your motivation, that you'll quit thinking about yourself and start thinking about others. And then I'm also going to give you, everybody say this, a sound. I'm going to give you a sound mind. We're going to camp here. What is sound mind? I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you ideas. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you make good decisions. Now, here's what's interesting. Life is nothing but, you think about where you're at today. It may not be where you want to be. And you may even be in a bad spot today. You may be in a good spot. But it all boils down to the decisions that you made. It's how you got there. You can blame everybody else. You can blame God. You can blame your mom and them. You can blame whoever you want to blame. But it really boils down to the decisions that you made got you where you are. And if you want to get out of where you are, you're probably going to have to make better decisions to get out of it where you are. So I want to spend some time talking about what is this wisdom? How do you get wisdom? Where does wisdom come from? It does come from God. But in fact, I would just say this to you. What's interesting that God even put a book inside of his book. There are 66 books in this book. He even put a book of wisdom inside of this book for us to read. And we're going to look at what the book of wisdom says to us and how we should conduct our lives. So I want to take you to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Everybody with me so far? I'm just laying the foundation today. These are the Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1 will begin there. This is the wise or the book of wisdom written by a man by the name of Solomon. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Hang out there just for a second. Let's talk a little bit about Solomon. Solomon was David's son, King David. He is known as the wisest man who ever lived. In fact, the scripture tells us he would be the wisest man, the richest man, and I believe probably one of the most influential men that has ever walked the face of the earth. And so if the wisest man wrote us a book, how many of you think we ought to really lean in a little bit to see what he has to say? I mean, think about it. If we were doing a stock market financial investment conference, and I'm on the list to speak, and Warren Buffett is on the list to speak. How many of you think, if you got to choose between one or two sessions, how many of you are going to go hear Warren and not hear me? Why? Because yeah, go hear Warren. But so we have the opportunity through the word to see what the wisest man who's ever lived has to say. Now let me show you how he got his wisdom, because this is important. If you don't see where he got it and how he got it, then you're going to miss the rest of the series. So here's what's happening. David is turning over the kingdom to his son Solomon. Solomon is the new king. In fact, Solomon is going, one of the first places he goes to is to church. That's a pretty good place. You're a young man. You're about to be given the reins of this incredible responsibility to lead the people of God, to be their king, and he's going to church. And the first thing he does is he goes to church, and he doesn't just go to church. He brings an offering to church. Just let me let that sink in just for a moment. He's bringing an offering. Can I just give you some wisdom? If you need something from God, bring something to God. If you're asking God for something, it always helps when you bring something to God when you want something. Woo. Just a principle. You don't have to live it. But if you do, you'll remain simple instead of becoming wise. He walks into the church and he brings an offering to the Lord. The Lord asked him. I love this. This happened a couple of times in my life. The Lord says to him, Solomon, what can I do for you? He's just bringing an offering. He puts his offering in the bucket. I don't think they had buckets, but we have buckets. You got it. Puts his offering in the bucket, and the Lord speaks to him and says, Solomon, what can I do for you? Now, that's a great question. What would you ask God for if he asked you that question? Think about it. I mean, that's like winning the lottery. God says, what can I do for you? Wow. If you knew whatever you asked for, God would do. Man. Y'all want to know what Solomon asked for? Watch this. Let me take you to the book of Let me take you to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 3, verse 7. Now, O Lord, here's the answer. Now, O Lord, my God, you had made me king instead of my father, David. But I am like a... I'm like a little child who doesn't even know his way around. Lord, I'm a rookie at this. Lord, I've never done this before. I'm a little overwhelmed. The task is really, really big for me. And Lord, I don't even know what to do. Verse 8. And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous that they can't even be counted. And he goes on to say, verse 9. Give me an, yeah, yellow, we read. Y'all forgot, 6 weeks, right? Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. Give me an understanding heart. Let me give you another word for an understanding heart. Give me wisdom. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? And the Lord was pleased that Solomon asked for wisdom. Watch this. Keep going. Verse 11. So God replied, because you asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for, watch with the list, long life, wealth, or death to your enemies. Just most of us probably would have asked, if God says, what can I do for you? Oh, Lord, I need a bigger house. Oh, Lord, I need a husband. Oh, Lord, I need money. Watch what happens. Because you didn't ask for and the Lord gave the selfish list, I'm going to give you what you asked for. I'm going to give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else has ever had or ever will have. And I will also give you what you did not ask for. I'm going to give you riches and fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. Watch out. He didn't finish. And if you follow me and obey my decrees and my commands as your father David did, I'm also going to throw in to you for you a long life. Isn't it interesting that what he asked for, what he didn't ask for, because he asked for the right thing and didn't ask for the He didn't ask for the wrong thing. He got the right thing. And if would have been the wrong thing is now the right thing too, because God's going to give him. Did y'all understand what I just said? Because I didn't. So you're going, yeah, I'm sick of this little old house and we need a bigger house. Lord, give us a bigger. I name it and claim it in the name of Jesus. You're probably praying the wrong prayer. You probably say, Lord, give me wisdom to handle the resources and the finances that I have now. And Lord, if I can learn to handle this well, then don't see if God said, well, I like that prayer. Asking the right prayer so that now I'm going to bless them with what they really wanted all the time. Because the reason why God didn't answer the prayer that you did want it, because once you got there, you'd be so strapped, you couldn't live anyway. Are y'all tracking with me this morning? It's wisdom. Wisdom. And so let me just show you. What did he do? Well, I'll show you what he did. Did you know James 1:5 tells us what to do? It says, look, if you need, and look at me around the room, every single one of us in this room needs wisdom. We need wisdom. He said, if you need wisdom, ask. If you need wisdom, let me tell you, I want you to ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for even asking. In other words, he won't look down on you because you didn't know. Most of us don't ask. We don't ask God. We don't ask others because we're worried about what people will think about us because we didn't know something. Hey, can you help me? Because I didn't know something. He goes, no. Listen. Any of you lacks wisdom? Hey, all you got to do is ask God for the wisdom. I want to teach you a prayer today that Pastor Jacob, I first heard him pray it, and he's prayed it over and over, and then it's just been incorporated where I pray it often, but I want to teach it to you. As a church, we have a big responsibility that God has given us, and I've heard Pastor Jacob pray this over and over again, and we're not finished. We want to build generationally. We want another generation to rise up and to take this over one day and do even more. We still have a dream that we're going to see not 17, 20 churches, whatever we have now. We're believing for 100 churches in our lifetime. 100. Well, that means you got to have 80 more pastors and assistant pastors and children's. And we're believing God for bigger things. And Pastor Jacob always prays this, and I want to teach this prayer. He says, Lord, give us the wisdom, say that with me. Give us the wisdom and the relationships and the resources we need to accomplish the responsibility that you've given us. I want you to take out a pen and paper because you need to write this one down in your Bible or on it and say, Lord, give us the wisdom. that we need and the relationships and the resources to carry out the responsibility that you've given us. Lord, give us the wisdom. Give us the resources and the relationships we need to carry out the responsibility that you've given us. Lord, give us the wisdom and the relationships and the resources we need to accomplish the responsibility that you've given us. The reason why we don't have the wisdom we need is because we do not ask. Ask. The smartest man in the room is not really the smartest man in the room. The smartest man in the room is the one that's willing to ask and not only seek the face of God, but also to seek those who have wisdom in other areas, that they're humble enough to ask. And when they ask, God answers that request, sometimes through his word and sometimes through his people, and gives them the wisdom that they need. Are y'all with me so far? You just got to ask. Hey, how do you parent? Hey, I'm having problems with my can I ask you something? I saw your kids, and I just need to ask, what are you doing? How can you help me? Hey, I've noticed y'all seem to have your finances in order, and where ours is all over the place, and I'm just asking, could you maybe help me organize and strategize? I just need to ask. Hey, I see you keep getting promotions, and I don't. Maybe there's a reason. What are you doing that I'm not doing? I just need some wisdom. I just want to ask. Hey, I'm trying to study the Word, and I've noticed you've got a real relationship with God, and I want to grow. I just want to ask. How are y'all tracking with me? You get it by asking. Watch this. Let me show you in James chapter 4, verse 2. Watch this. You lust and you do not have. You murder and you covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Can I just tell you, that God is not ever upset. Or James, the first James told us, he's not going to rebuke you. You might not get the right answer that you want, because he's God. He has the right to overrule. You may not always get what you want, but he's never going to rebuke you for asking. Sometimes it's not the thing, it's the wisdom that you need. And God gives you the wisdom that you need. And then he says, not only because you ask for the right thing, I'm going to give you the things and desires of your own heart, because you keep asking me for the right thing. Wisdom is the right thing. Can I get an amen from the congregation? Okay, let's go on into Proverbs 2, and I'm going to land the plane, which means Vic's going to help me, and my first sermon back. Am I doing okay? I'm nervous. I'm sweating. It's hot in here, isn't it? We're going to fix that in Jesus' name, because we're going to ask. Let me show you again. I'm just laying the foundation for you today. We're going to build on top of these over the next few weeks. This is back to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2. He said, these proverbs, their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline to help them understand the insights of the wise. Solomon, the richest, wisest, most influential man who's ever lived, is inviting us to go behind the scenes. He's writing it out for us. Come on behind the scenes. I've written this book for you so you can begin to understand the insights of the wise. Watch this. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined, and I love this word, successful lives, to help them to do what's right, just, and fair. This word, successful. Go back. Successful. To be successful. Look at me. That's relative. Success is relative. What do I mean by that? How many of y'all know a rich person? You know someone who's rich. If you go ask them, are they rich? They would tell you, no, I'm not. And you'd say, well, who is rich? And they would point to someone who has more than they do. And if you go ask that person, are you rich? They'd say, no. Well, who's rich? And they would point to somebody who has more than they do. Are you following me? It's all relative. What is rich? Success, listen to me closely, because I've been accused falsely. I have been accused falsely of preaching prosperity. I just want to make sure I'm very clear. Success in the eyes of God is different than in the eyes of man. Success is you accomplish the assignment that God placed you on earth to do. Has nothing to do with nothing. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking you'll be rich. He's saying, no. In the eyes of God, you'll be successful. Can I just tell you, there's churches that are smaller than us that are more successful than us. Because they are doing more with what God has given them than maybe what God has entrusted to us. And that's a fact. I want to help you to live a successful life. What's right, what's just, and what's fair. And then he goes on to say, these proverbs are going to give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young, which means it doesn't matter who you are, you can have access to this wisdom. Remember, I'm not giving you a spirit of fear from the Lord, but of love, power, and sound mind. Wisdom. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs. Yeah, let the wives and wives. That's a joke. Let the wise listen to these proverbs, become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. Watch this. I'm getting somewhere. By exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables, these words of the wise and their riddles. And he says, step one. You want to become wise. You want to be a wise guy. You want to be a wise woman. A wise man. I'm going to give you the first step. I'm going to give you the doorway to walking out of darkness into light, or stepping into the wisdom room. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of truth and knowledge. The fools despise it, the wisdom and the discipline. The fear of the Lord. What does the fear of the Lord mean? Because that's kind of a Bible, like the fear, like, ooh, I'm afraid. It doesn't mean fear. It means reverence, that you revere. Awe. Oh, my word. Heidi and I just walked through one of the most beautiful places probably on the planet. We saw several of the most beautiful places. It builds up your soul. When you're in a beautiful place. We're on the lost coast of California. That's where the cliffs are, you know, the big cliffs. And we stayed in a little house that over on a cliff. And there's rocks, these big boulder rocks out in the ocean. I mean, they're probably as tall, as big as a stage out in the ocean. And the waves hit it and go kapoosh. And we saw a whale. Like, wow! You don't see this down in Kankton. I mean, we still just Louisiana people. You know, we're Louisiana folks, right? I'm wondering how that would taste with rice. You know, that's what we're thinking. You see this beauty and you're just going, whoa, amazing. We walked through Zion National Park, some of the most beautiful canyons. And, you know, we're looking up at these places and you're just going, that's what the fear of the Lord is. It's just awe. Like, you've been to a place like that before and you went, man, God's creation. And then here's a key word, the fear of the Lord. Ready? The beginning of wisdom. He said, look, if you want to be wise, here's the beginning of it. You can't skip this step. You can't jump over this step and get to another place of wisdom. You got to go through this step. And he said, submission. That's a word we don't like. Here's what it means. Submission means simply this: to take your mission and put it under the leadership of the Lord. That's it. My business. I don't, nobody tell me it's my business. I'm a self-made man. That's the problem. Submit. This image came to my mind. Alice in Wonderland. Remember that little door? She's up here and she's got to get through the little door, and then she takes the juice, right? And she drinks it. And then it shrinks her. And then she's able to open the door to go into this marvelous land. That's what it means. It means there's only one way into the door of wisdom. You got to get really, really low. And you got to walk through it really low. You got to go, I'm just submitting to you, Lord. Lord, I'm a pastor and I still have to get really low and go, Lord, I really don't know. I need your wisdom because I've never been where I'm at before. And I need your wisdom to help me lead your people well so that we can get to a place that you want all of us to be. I'm going to have to get low. It just means businessman, your business. You're going to have to just get low and go, Lord, this is your business. It's yours. And I want to bring it under your submission. I know I've been wanting to make more money so I could buy another house. But Lord, I'm just going to go ahead and get low. And I'm going to submit it to you. And I just need your wisdom so that I could grow the business so I could build your kingdom. And I just know what God would say. Hey, you want to build my kingdom? Pooh, you build my kingdom. I'll build yours. And get the blessings of God over your life. Just wisdom. Are y'all tracking with me this morning? There's only one way. There's only one way. It's getting low and just going, Lord, I just submit to you. And this is what Solomon's telling us. Remember, I read to you his story. Lord, I'm just a young man. I'm just a child. And these are your chosen people. And I don't even know what I'm doing, Lord. So I'm just asking you if you would just come help me, Lord, because I don't know. I can't lead. My daddy was good, and I can't ever fill my daddy's shoes. I can't do it, Lord. I just need your help. I need wisdom. Wisdom. God said, you're asking for the right thing. Because you're asking for the right thing, I already know the desires of your heart. I'm going to go ahead and bless you with the right thing. And because of you didn't ask for the wrong thing, now the wrong thing is going to be the right thing too. And I'm going to give that to you too. Because you asked for the right thing. Wisdom. 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 As a husband, remember, Lord, I'm going to need some. I can promise you, Heidi's had to do this a lot with me. I promise you. Lord, how do I be a better husband? As a father, many times Heidi and I both just going, what are we going to do? I don't know. Let's just, Lord, we need wisdom that we may lead your children well. Are you with me? Are you tracking with me today? So what are we praying for today? Oh, you got it. You got it. Watch. Let me show you this. Watch. My child, listen, when your father corrects you, don't neglect your mother's instruction. And I would say to you, don't build a doctrine on this, but I would say the father is the father. God, his book, his word, the father. And I would even say to you that the mother is the church, the bride, the mama. The father and the mama, if you listen to his word and submit to it, go low. Don't go high. Take the low road. You ever take the high road? No, take the low road. Go low. If you'll take the low road and if you'll listen to the teachings of the church, then my child, listen, when your father corrects you, your mother's instruction, watch what he says. He says, what you learn from them will crown you with grace and a chain of honor will be around your neck. And he's referring to the ceremony at the end of the sporting event. You know, when they put you up there, the podium, 1, 2, and 3. When you stand, you'll stand on podiums, and God will put the crown on your head and put the, you did it. You won. You're victorious. You were successful. He said, that's the result of it. I'm not saying this to you. Solomon's saying it to you. The wisest man who ever lived. How many of you think we ought to go? I got to go low. Here's what I want to do today. I want to end with this. I want to just give you a challenge. In the book of Proverbs, there's actually 31 Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. There's one for every day of the month. I want you to make a commitment this month. We're going to just read those together, that every day, whatever day it is, today is the the 9th. Maybe today you go home and you read Proverbs chapter 9. Tomorrow morning, read Proverbs chapter 10. Whatever day it is, that's the proverb that we're on, that we'll just all read it together as a congregation, letting God speak his wisdom into our heart, into our life. If you'll receive that, just say amen. And we're going to just do that together. And then I want you to commit to go low every single day. And then I want you to pray this prayer. Lord, give me wisdom. I need your wisdom. And give me the relationships and the resources to carry out the responsibility that you've given me. Lord, I need wisdom. Give me the relationships and the resources I need to carry out the responsibilities that you've given me. And we're going to do that today. Would you just bow your head with me? Let's pray together. Lord, give me wisdom. And give me the relationships. And give me the resources I need to accomplish the responsibility you've given me. So, Father, today we thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you're speaking to us today. We receive it today from you. Father, we're going to be people of the word. Father, it changes lives. It transforms us. It transforms our mind. It changes our sound mind. And so, Father, today we ask for wisdom. We ask it in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to give you an opportunity today to make the wisest decision that you could ever make. Maybe today you need to bow your knee because you need Christ to be the Lord of your life. He loves you. He's not mad at you. He came. And I want to ask you the most important question today. Have you been born again? Have you been born again? Christians, I want you praying right now. I'm not asking you, were you christened or were you baptized? Have you been born again? In the book of John, chapter 3, Jesus said, no one can see the kingdom and no one can enter the kingdom unless they've been born again. How do you get born again? Well, it's as easy as A, B, C. A, admit that you're a sinner and that you've fallen short. We all have. The Bible is very clear. B, believe that Christ alone became the bearer for your sin, your guilt, and shame. And C, confess him as Lord and Savior. So with every head bowed and every eye closed today, I want to give you that opportunity to be born again. He's here today. He loves you. He's not mad at you. Your life's been a wreck. But today, you can start by making the best decision ever, by giving your life to Jesus. With every head bowed and eye closed, I want to pray for you. If you say, Pastor, you, that's me today. Would you hold your hand up all over this building? Hold it up high right now. Say, please remember me in this prayer, Pastor. Please remember me. Thank you. I see your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold it up high. Keep it up. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I see your hand. 11, 12. I'm looking in the balcony. I see your hand. 13. I want us to pray, congregation, with each one of these today. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go. And that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. Today, Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give God praise for that today.